from the School of Herpetology at the University of California in Berkeley. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With our special guest, the former professor of zoology at Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Kumanza, Ghana, and the curator emeritus of the San Diego Zoo in San Diego, Idaho, T. Smithers Fong. And with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, painter, statesman emeritus, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and a man who can make the banjo sing, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and a man who can climb a coconut tree without wearing a shirt, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
I like the way that Peter Gunn got combined with Baby Elephant Walk.
I know, I had to really hunt for that to find what I was looking for.
It was wonderful, wonderful
because,
blend.
Because it's a zoo-ish song.
It is a zoo-ish song. And I want to welcome Dr. Fong.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is doctor.
It is.
Okay. You're any relationship to G. Fong that runs the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
He's my brother.
Oh, wow.
I hope you do better than he did.
Greatness aspires in your family.
At least you seem to be qualified for the job you hold.
That's yet to be seen.
Rick, he's our guest. Easy.
Let's talk about monkeys. Yeah, that's where we tripped up his brother.
Yeah, that's true.
Fong of the Rock and Roll
Hall. Well, I think we will get to that, though, because I would like
to... Why aren't they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
They should be. Why don't you talk to your brother?
I'll do that.
Let's talk about a different kind of monkeys. Let's talk about lions and tigers and bears and...
Oh, my.
Visitors. You've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, the opening said, as a little gag, San Diego, Idaho, but it's in California.
Right. Considered one of the best zoos in the world.
It's definitely the most visited in the United States.
Did you have anything to do with that, Dr. Fong?
I'm a little modest, but yes.
We are the first modest person that we've ever had on the show.
That came in that way.
Okay. When I was at, one time, I went on a little trip to SeaLand, SeaWorld.
Which is it?
It's SeaWorld in Florida. Okay. And we got one of those backstage passes with wife and kids and everything. And the lady's taking us around. And then
Wait. Is this a recent tour?
Well, 10 years or so ago.
I mean, because things have changed a
lot
at SeaWorld.
Yeah, I know. SeaWorld's caught hell. But in any event, back in the day, we went there, and the ladies asked if we had any questions. And I asked, which I think was a pertinent question, when the fish die, do you just feed them to the Shamus? I mean, when one animal dies, you feed it to the other ones. I mean, because in the wild...
And you upset how many children with that question,
apparently
Rick?
Apparently a lot, and I got in trouble from the wife and everything. But in the wild, you know, orcas eat fish.
Live
so,
ones.
So why would, when the fish die at SeaWorld, would you waste money buying food when you just feed them to the other ones?
Who says they don't?
Well, that's the...
I think the thing is, they don't announce that
to
the public.
That's not part of the tour.
Okay, but here at the San Diego Zoo.
Right.
You've got carnivores.
Well, okay, just hold your horse. I mean, do you have to just go stampeding to the dead zebra here, Rick? I mean... Come on. How many different species do you have at the San Diego Zoo?
407.
Oh, that's just a made-up number.
No, it's 650 plus.
And plant species? It's actually also a botanical garden.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I generally just take care of the animals. 700,000. 700,000, that's correct.
You're both liars. I don't believe either one of them.
I looked it up before I came in here tonight. Yeah.
Oh, so you prepped.
A little bit. Plus, I've been there.
I have, too.
Yeah, I have as well.
All right, so what is a typical day of a zoo director?
You know, I go around
in front of the monkey cage.
You're there before the place opens, right?
Yeah.
Do you get to, like, if you want to, like, ride the zebras and go in and, like, wrestle the monkeys and
bear? Wrestle the bear.
That's a little dangerous for my taste.
But you could.
Yeah, I could if I wanted.
But the guy wears a suit, for Pete's sake.
Well, it's khaki.
So does the monkey.
Was that that start with a K or a T? What was that?
It's a K. Yeah.
So if you wanted to, as the director of the zoo, if you decided you wanted to put suits and ties on all the apes, you could.
No.
Not easily.
Not easily.
whoever suggests it has to do it. Be like putting a suit on your 6-year-old kid when you're taking him to a wedding. Fighting him.
Okay. Right. Okay. So we didn't get an answer because of you so rudely interrupted Dr. Fong. What was the typical day again?
Yeah, I go around and check the area, make sure everything's clean, check over the cages and the exhibits and make sure.
Don't you have people to do that for you?
Well, I'm a bit of a micromanager.
Do you, as director, do you feel it's your job to be able to do every other job in the park?
In order the philosophy of, I wouldn't ask somebody else to do something I wouldn't do myself.
Right. I mean, except for, like, dung maintenance.
That's where I was going with this. Who cleans the cages?
You always do, Rick.
Who cleans the cages?
The cage cleaners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that kind of does bring up a question. You know, like,
yeah, there's
the ins and outs of a zoo. I mean, how much food comes in, how much waste and bedding goes out. I mean, that's got to be a massive number with 650 species of animals, big and small.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's tons.
Okay, when you're getting rid of the scat, are you allowed to
That's
just...
only from cats.
Okay. No one bears.
Okay.
When you're getting rid of the waste products waste of your product, animals, thank you. Can you just dump it into the San Diego sewer system?
Ocean.
No. No.
Yeah. No.
We have big conglomerate farmers that come and pick it up and they...
So you're telling me that my tomatoes could be covered with...
Elephant dung.
Monkey dung.
Orangutan.
Do you get a lot of San Diego tomatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I would say yes.
I eat them all the time.
Nothing but. It's a strict tomato diet.
Tomato and elephant dung.
Okay, so now can I ask my question about what they do with the dead animals?
Go ahead, Rick. I mean, Here we go.
Animals dying at the zoo. Every zoo in the world is a reality.
Well, I think you should back up. We did an analysis about 10 shows ago.
Yeah.
Of there was a thing in the news about a monkey farm. You know, like you've heard of like hog confinements and livestock confinements. They have a monkey confinement facility where they were raising 30,000 monkeys in one facility for scientific purposes.
What happens if they get loose?
Well, what happens if they get loose from the zoo?
Well, we're professionals.
You know, that, they say, and Dr. Fong, you could step in anytime you want to step in.
In it.
Step in it anytime you want. They say that for a zoo, a tiger escaping is the number one nightmare of a zoo director.
I would agree with that.
You ever have them escape at San Diego Zoo?
No.
What has escaped?
Well, we've had a few escapees over the years.
So you have had. You know, you hear about during certain storms. I think down in Louisiana when Katrina hit, the zoo was damaged and the animals were loose.
When they bombed Berlin during World War II, the Berlin Zoo, all the animals escaped into the city.
Wow. That would be something, wouldn't it? All right, go ahead.
Hey, we had a
you ever had a disgruntled employee just turn some loose?
No. Huh? No, these have gotten free on their own. Oh, okay. A Bornean orangutan.
Got free on its own?
Yeah.
I mean,
pick the lock.
Isn't there some sort of security system that keeps the orangutans in place?
They're smart. Pick the lock.
They're smart.
They look like they're just sacks of flour, those sitting there. They don't move much.
That's true.
The news called him the Harry Houdini.
Harry Houdini.
Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it?
H-A-R-R-Y.
All right, I like it. I'll go with that.
We had a Malaysian tapir get loose.
Malaysian tapir, those are delicious.
Now, there's how you handle escapes is different depending on the... I mean, like, you know, when the orangutan gets loose, I mean, you guys don't flip out and go crazy and chase everybody out of the
room. Or like a tapir's on the streets, and you're like, we'll get it tomorrow.
Well, the orangutan... escaped the zoo itself.
Oh, so he got out in the city, so
yeah,
he's
that
out.
Was a little different.
Did you catch him in a bar?
No.
He was watching a football game.
He ran into a church and they caught him by the organ.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say.
But supposedly there's like a secret code, like when the tigers escape, that this code goes out over the whole zoo. Saying get everybody there.
Code red.
Right. We don't
code orange and black.
Make that known to the public though.
Yeah, it's like at a hospital, they have certain codes, you know, when something really bad's going down, you know, code blue. Like nobody knows what that is anymore.
Yeah, but
I mean the zoo has to have something.
But when a tiger escapes, you know, it's not like you want to keep that a secret. Don't you want to tell everyone in the whole over the attention everyone, there's tigers escaped in the San Diego Zoo.
No,
you want
you
them
don't
to
do that. You
shelter
say,
immediately.
Say, slushies are on sale in, you know, in the Penguin Cove, and the tiger has escaped, and don't forget the Muppet Show later at 3 p.m.
There's no parking in the Blue Zone.
You can't just, you know, create hysteria.
There have been zoos, I read this, where the tigers have killed people before they got them in.
Not at San Diego.
You know, when we went to San Diego Zoo, like, I saw him like walking around like a mountain lion with a collar around its neck. They walked it like a dog around them, people.
Wait, where was this at?
San Diego Zoo.
And they had a mountain lion? They
yes,
were walking
sir,
around?
Yes, Bob. And they were walking around like they were walking a dog on a leash.
You sure it wasn't like a grad student in a mountain lion suit?
I know the difference.
That was trying to experience what the life of a mountain lion is actually like?
No, this was a meet the public type thing.
Okay.
They were bringing wild animals out for people to get up close and personal.
And this is not the kind of thing you'd want to see right after watching the movie Cat People.
Huh?
You see the movie Cat People?
No.
The guy gets his arm tore off by a black panther. It's very graphic.
How many people got missing arms, Dr. Fong?
Zero.
Zero arms or zero missing?
Zero missing.
Okay.
This ain't the Tiger King.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah, what's your opinion of these private animal farms where they, you know, like they'll have creatures like tigers and bears and so forth and just the public pays to come in and get an up close look at these things?
As long as the animals are being treated right, they're being fed right, Carol Baskins isn't in charge, I think it's probably okay.
You know, there was this guy where we lived, Rick, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a guy that lived, I don't know, maybe 5 miles from where we grew up, and he had a wild animal farm, and he had like bears and wolves and various, you know, wild cats in cages, and you could pay to go in there, and he was also providing them to different entertainment venues. And then, you know, the guy died, and his son, it was kind of a, well, he had a kind of a drug addiction, didn't care about it. They were foreclosing on the farm. One day, he lets them all go, hops in his truck, and drives away.
Good way to handle that.
Yeah. Do you see that as your last day at the zoo?
No. No, that sounds like a really poor last day.
Hey, before we go on, we got a commercial. Now, okay. Why don't we let Dr. Fong read the commercial?
I think that's a great idea.
There you go, doctor.
Today's show is brought to you by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. Do you spend night after night covering your ears, listening to your favorite dog hack, gag, and cough? Well, suffer no longer, or more accurately, have your dog suffer no longer. Give Fido one of Cannoli's canine cough drops and watch him quiet right down. Cannolis come in one of three flavors that dogs love: black cherry, soothing menthol, or baby rabbit. Before you know it, you'll be watching TV in peace while your dog lays at your feet, quietly sucking his cannoli. Cannoli's canine cough drops. When your dog's coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli.
What makes you think a dog likes menthol?
Huh? Dogs love menthol.
You don't know that.
Yeah, it's been proven at zoos across the
country. Dr. Fong might know that.
Yeah, dogs and koalas.
Of menthol.
Yeah.
You have koalas?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many? You don't even know.
I don't know exactly.
Do you, like,
it's in the 60s, I think.
When it's your kid's birthday party, do you take them home?
Oh.
I mean, I understand you have to bring them back.
No.
It's my understanding that there is a little-known tour that exists that if you pay the right price, you can see things at the zoo that nobody else gets to see.
We don't.
Well, that's a big lie.
Know. We don't.
You need to look at your book because you offer those special tours, buddy.
We don't make that
70
known.
Bucks a piece.
That's what costs to get in the zoo.
Your wife just told you it was a special tour, and it really wasn't.
You're just walking around.
Okay, here's a question I've got. San Diego Zoo has a rescue program, right? People will have pet chimps.
Whoa, stop right there. If you're telling me that I'm paying $70 to get into the zoo, and all I see is a bunch of dogs and cats, that's a bunch of crap.
No, you get to see all the animals.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they got a
fine.
rescue program for years and years. People would, you know, sometimes get these pets, like pet chimps and stuff, and then the chimp would grow up, and, you know, they couldn't handle it. And the zoo will accept these animals, you know, so get them off the street and get them out of apartments.
And keep them from eating people's faces off.
Right. And then
you ever have that happen at the zoo, a monkey attempt to eat somebody's face off?
No, okay. I think those happen at monkey farms.
My question is, Dr. Fong, when you get a monkey like that, let's say that he's, like, learned to smoke cigarettes, because that's a favorite thing, like, teach chimp to do, smoke.
Have you ever taught a chimp to smoke a cigarette?
Yeah, they like menthol.
But my question is, when you get one that's addicted to cigarettes, I mean, do you guys provide them smokes then?
But to bring them down?
We put them on the patch.
There you go. Monkey patch.
I'm going to the monkey patch.
All right, Dr. Fong.
Yeah.
Favorite animal?
Oh, now you're going to cause trouble.
That would be the okapie.
Uh-huh. And least favorite troublemaking animal at the zoo?
Probably the lemurs.
Lemurs?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the lemurs? Troublemakers?
They get into a lot of stuff.
Which type of animal has the hottest handlers?
We don't discuss things like that.
The snake but lady.
It's the tigers.
The tiger lady.
I don't know. Do you ever see Salma Hayek doing the snake dance in Dusk to Dawn? You should have her at the zoo.
They do.
We could
doing
raise
the
our
snake dance.
Ticket price.
Yeah. Go up, $100.
Better than leading around a mountain lion.
What? That wasn't Salma Hayek.
Yeah, she didn't do that.
Now, they also have, like...
Do you have celebrity night at the zoo?
No.
That'd be great. I mean, you're in California, right? Everybody's a celebrity out there.
Well, I mean, technically, do you have, like, you guys.
Do you have a cage that, like, if, let's say, George Clooney shows up and wants to stand in a cage, you know, with a plate that says George Clooney, that you let him?
If he pays the right price.
$70.
Yeah, but think of the crowd it would bring in. This Friday, George Clooney... On site, San Diego Zoo, in a cage.
But you know these
wrestling an orangutan.
That's a bad idea.
Okay.
When I was younger, dating my wife, she took me to a little zoo next to her hometown.
And left you there?
Over by Melrose, it was Stoneham, Massachusetts. And they had a little zoo, but it was one of the style of zoo that the animals were in.
They were all miniature.
No, they were not all miniature.
They were all in diapers.
But they were not that either. But they were all in little metal cages with bars. You wanted to see a lion, you walked into this room, and there's a cage not much bigger than this room we're in, with a lion in it.
No hiding spots.
No, none of this
habitat.
Okay,
I know what you're leading up to.
Go
you're
going
to tell the Bush story at at Grant's farm.
No, go ahead. I wasn't going to tell that at all.
Dr. Fong's never heard it. God knows he hasn't listened to the show before.
I know. But if Augie Bush tells you to bring out the animals, you bring them out.
There, see, he has heard the story. Okay. So they're a smart guy. But what I'm saying is that, you know, this whole business of having these natural habitats, you know, if I want to see a lion in a natural habitat, I'll go to Africa. Exactly. When I go to the zoo, I want to see the lion. I don't want to know that he's like hiding out in a behind a bush someplace. You want to see him.
Right, right, right. Not seeing animals is what gets you. There's this park in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's called Wolf Park, and it has trails. You can, like, go out. They're not in cages. You walk amongst them, right?
It's called a national park. But yeah. Go ahead.
But in this particular island, that's where the wolves are, you know, they have hiking trails for people, and it is not a national park, but it's this area. And they GPS all the wolves to where they have, you know, like chips on them. And while you're hiking and on your phone, you can track where the wolves are all at. And what they found out is that they were paralleling the people as they were walking the trail. And
like
stalking them, going back to their old instincts to where they had to stop doing it. It was just a matter of time.
Okay, this doesn't have anything to do with San Diego Zoo, but it's just such a good story that I want to hear it. You once told me about visiting a place in Schenectady, New York, you know, upstate New York, where some people had a bunch of wild animals.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that happened. What about it? Okay, so I go to this place.
In Schenectady.
And we were invited there. You know, they had some questions about conservation and so forth. And so I went to their house, a friend of mine, and I went to this house. It was a nice house. You know, you see it up kind of up along the hillside. And we go to the front door, knock on the door. And a woman comes and answers the door and says, well, come on in and I'll show you around. And when we stepped in the front door, it was like 90 degrees inside the house. And the first room is like this living room, and it's got a TV high up on the wall that's just blaring. But in the room are like these floor-to-ceiling steel cages. And in the first one, there's like a spider monkey, and he's jumping all around in it. And then the next one's got one of those big ring-tailed creatures. And then there's another
lemur,
and then there's another one across the room that's got a chimpanzee in it, and you know, so you know, just all over the room, it just stinks.
Inside the house that she's living in.
Inside the house, and it just stinks to high heaven. It's super hot, and she's, you know, talking. I'm just kind of semi in shock stepping into this environment, and I'm, you know, she's talking. I'm kind of looking at the animals, looking around, and like the wallpaper is just kind of like this speckled, polka-dotted type wallpaper, but then I realize it's not spots, it's bugs, and they're moving. It's the wall is completely covered with insects in this room, so that's creeping me out. She says, would you like to go down to the kitchen and yawn at anything to get out
that's
there?
That's a more natural habitat for the animals.
Well, I guess the heat and the bugs, you know, made them feel like they were in the jungle or whatever. So we go downstairs, and we get down to the kitchen, and here's an even bigger cage. And in the kitchen, they have a full-grown baboon in the kitchen. And the kitchen counter is just, every inch of it is covered with, like, open dog cans and bowls and dishes, you know, all dirty. And it's just stunk and just disturbing. And we sit down at the table with this woman and her husband, and they start telling us about their farm and their animals and so forth. And finally, the woman says, can I get either one of you something to drink? And I said, well, I'm fine. But Bob here was talking about how thirsty he was all the way down here. So he could probably use something to drink. A glass of water would be fine. And she gets up, you know, and the stuff swirling in this glass that she sat down in front of him was just awful. So we're sitting there at the table.
Did he kill it?
And the he didn't touch it. It would have killed him. And we're sitting there at the kitchen table, and so I'm sitting across from the guy that's got one of those, what are the little tiny monkeys, the capuchin monkeys?
Right.
Got one of those on his shoulder, which I assume you have one of those on your shoulder everywhere you go when you walk around the
zoo. As a zoo director, don't you?
Well, I have a guy with a monkey and a grinder, organ grinder, that follows me around.
There.
Even better.
Classic. So anyway, we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, bam, something hits the plexiglass window there on the porch. It was a chimpanzee that's in this cage just outside, and he's banging on that, banging on it. And the guy sitting across from me gets up and starts yelling back and forth, you know, like the monkey's screaming. He's yelling at the monkey, and then the baboon gets all upset, starts banging on its cage. It was pandemonium. So she says, how would you like to go out to the shed and see my other babies?
Oh, yeah.
Anything to get out of the house at
babies
this point.
Babies would be good. So we go out to the shed, and we walk into this room, and the wind sucks the door shut. And she just opened the door to the next. She said, well, come on in here. She said, I've got to go. Ever so often, you know, when the door bangs hard like that, it blows a fuse. So I'll go to the breaker box and get the lights back on. And we're like, okay. And we're standing there in total darkness. And the guy that's with me kind of nudges me. He says, you ever see the movie The Island of Dr. Moreau? She's going to put us in those cages next. And as we're standing there, still in the dark, you know, the floor is like covered with straw, and you can hear things walking around us. And, you know, finally something that kind of like bumps into me, and then another one. And Bob's like, there are things here. There are things touching me. And all of a sudden, the lights come on, and we're surrounded.
Actually, it was Alan touching him.
We're surrounded by about eight little tiny miniature horses. And they're all like kind of like deformed. Their legs are bent and their heads are crooked and just like, and I start backing up from that, and something grabs my collar and starts pulling me backwards. And it's a full-grown camel in there, and it's got me by the collar dragging me now. And I got away from it, and, you know, I kind of back up against the other wall, and by this time the woman shows up. Oh, I see you've met my babies. And yeah, she said, I rescued them from a sideshow. And been raised them ever since. Yes, she was. And the camel, and she had a zebra in there, and a couple of donkeys and a couple of horses. And she said, one of my favorites is my mountain lion. And she said, come on over here. And we're like, we're supposed to stop. We're like, it's in a cage, right? She says, oh, yeah, yeah. So she showed us around the farm, and we went on a four-wheeler ride through the bigger part of the property and came back there. It was a very disturbing event. Is that what it's like at the San Diego Zoo?
No, just, not even a little bit.
You could have more interaction. Is there any part of the zoo where you can actually have interaction with the pets of the zoo?
Not in
that
fashion.
What do you call them? You call them the pets, you call them inhabitants, you call them residents. What do you refer to?
Product. Residents.
Product.
Residents. I kind of like that.
Okay. In the wild, lions will hunt gazelles or whatever.
Survival of the fittest.
Do you have like an arena where you'll put lions and gazelles in them and so that people can watch that if they want
say
to?
Say Rome.
When you say arena, I don't think the gazelles are going to fight back very well.
Well, I understand it's going to end.
Neither did the Christians.
I understand it's going to end with the gazelles being eaten. But, I mean, you know, that's just the natural way. I mean, if you go on a safari in Africa, you're going to see it.
Yeah, but this seems like a setup.
Huh? For the gazelles?
Yeah.
Do you chain them to a post in the middle, Rick?
No, you let them run around.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it'd be a big ticket item. People would pay. You know, they go to see a bullfight. How is this different than going to watch a bullfight?
Not in America, they don't.
Well, maybe San Diego's pretty close to the border.
I don't think that the gruesome display that you're describing exists anywhere in America, Rick. I don't think it maybe not in the, well, yeah, in the world.
Yes.
Okay, you never did get around to the question of, and we touched upon this,
what do you do with the dead animals?
Yeah, what happens to all the deceased creatures?
Well, we dispose of them in a few ways.
Well, here's your sheet.
We'll incinerate some.
You have your own incinerator on site?
Yes. It's a large one.
Huh. It would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you got a dead elephant.
Heat it up. Here comes the rhino.
Well, that's the rub on the elephants. Our cats love elephant.
Ah, there it is.
Now, we don't tell everybody this, so we can keep this between us, but some of these things.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, in the old days, they used to take horses, make glue. They would take various other animals and use them for various cosmetic products. And I think for pet food.
Alan, look at number four.
Number four, serve them. Oh, wait a minute.
What we do with ways we dispose of dead animals at the zoo. This is Dr. Fong's list that he brought in, right?
Yeah. Okay, so we got past incineration. Burying them in the middle of San Diego would be tough.
Right. We don't do that much unless
it's
small.
Take them to La Brea and pitch them into the tar.
That's what I said. Throw them in the La Brea tar pits, and then they would be a discovery for people 10,000, 100,000 years from now.
Look at the diverse wildlife.
How did these African creatures get here into North America?
Rode a big raft from Polynesia.
Yeah.
Number four, serve them as concessions.
You can't do that. That's a joke,
no,
right?
No.
What?
Well, some of the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they died, or are you talking about if you have too many?
Weeding them out.
Okay, I could do that. Donate them to science.
That's what we're going to do with you.
Yeah, that is what we're going to do with me.
Or serve you as concession.
But let's not get in a hurry here. Okay. Return them to their native countries.
When like they die?
No, that's a rogue animal.
No,
probably.
It says the way we dispose of dead animals at the zoo, return them to native
countries. Certain countries require, like China, we have to return
the giant pandas.
Yeah. We have to do a necropsy on every animal that dies.
I think that's absolutely right. A necropsy, that's a word. That's a real word.
That's an animal autopsy.
He's a real doctor.
Oh. Animal autopsy.
Back off. We went to college.
Think I got my degree.
Now your zoo program, you know, the Norse funeral, that's a big lie.
That's the entertainment value. You got to remember, he's a showman. He's like the modern day Barnum and Bailey, only he's doing it in a suit and tie. Instead of a...
Now, they pretend that a zoo, though, is like this big science thing, you know, that they're dedicated to promulgating the species. One of the things you do is try to get your animals...
I don't think they're dedicated to promulgating the species as much as they are to preserving some of the species.
Right, but
they?
I'm saying they have breeding programs where they trade the animals among zoos. Is that not correct?
That is correct, 100%.
Like if you're trying to get upland gorillas and there aren't many of them left in the world and you want them to breed. My question is, Dr. Fong... Do you do things like to help the gorillas make them more attractive, like makeup and hairstyling?
They're not attractive, the things like that.
Oh, you don't think so.
It's pheromones.
You know, humans are primates. They find nice hair and makeup attractive in their perspective paramours. Don't you think gorillas might like that too?
Never helped you.
What time is it?
You're overdue, man.
All right. Well, we're going to have Dr. Fong back someday, aren't we?
I do have one more question. Do you have a liger?
No. No.
Are you developing one?
We're familiar with them.
Okay.
They're bred for their skills in magic.
It's true.
Well.
Hey, do you have any alligators?
Yeah.
Can we wrestle them?
Yes, you may.
Awesome. We'll be there.
As soon as the show's over.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Alligator.
T Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Accept no substitute. The part of Nick the Water Carrier was played by Craig Johnson.